Another struggle, another obstacle, another battle.
Ain't no telling where I'm about to go. Ain't no telling what I'm about to do. But I don't need you telling me what I need to do or who I need to be. Just let me be free.
Good morning, jesters. Good morning, jestettes. Good morning, fellow jesterians. Good morning, Mr. Pickle. I love you. I miss you, man. Coffee today? Fuck yeah. Hit me up. Oh, shit. So yesterday's episode was kind of fudged, yo. It would have been... It was like... Some days I'm on a roll and I get shit going and everything's fucking phenomenal. And then my shit died. Technical difficulties, man. What the fudge-tastic fudge-toids, man. Oh well. Shit happens, man. Adapt and overcome. Foggy, foggy. Luckily, shit like that only happens once every other month or so. But, hey, when that starts happening every time, then it's time to have to figure out something new. And we will do it at the time when we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Oh, shit. But let's go ahead and start this here vaporizer. Sip some coffee. Now... There are some good signs, at least one good sign that I saw over the weekend, over the past few days, was a Democratic representative in Southern Texas jumped ship. The guy, he's getting away from the Democratic Party because he sees where they're headed, man. They're looking for you to be dependent upon the state. Socialism. That's what socialism, that's what communism is. So they can have the power, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Well, they're already corrupt, so they don't have to go very far. Oh, man, it's crazy, man. Like, everything that's been fucking going on since illegitimate Joe has been in fucking office has been un-American, unconstitutional. They're forcing you to take these goddamn shots because that's what's keeping the scamdemic alive. You get injected with the RNA of this virus and it attacks your cells and it creates more of this coronavirus. That's where the Delta variant is coming from. That causing those... The Delta variant, that's what... supposedly fortifies your immune system because it's building up antibodies to fight this new Jesus Christ, this new enemy that's entered your body. That's where this fucking Delta variant is coming from, man. I mean, how could... I don't know if it's common sense or not, but it makes sense. It fucking meant 1 + 1 = 2. If they are injecting this RNA, the RNA of the coronavirus into your body, why? Why are they doing that? So your body can make its own antibodies. How is it doing that? Because the RNA is attacking your cells and duplicating itself. So your body is making antibodies to fight this. That's why you're still spreading the Delta variant after you get the fucking shot. Do you not fucking understand that that's exactly what the fuck is going on? And we don't even know the fucking long-term effects of this fucking shot. I mean, but let's inject it into our kids. That's a good idea, isn't it? It's a fucking idiotic idea is what the fuck it is. So let's scare the fucking public about how deadly and scary this virus is. Now let's check that. It's not scary and deadly. It kills less than 0.003% of the people who catch it. Not of the population, not of the people who catch it. You have less than a 5% chance of needing to go to the hospital if you contract the coronavirus. See, all this is fucking facts, man. But you don't hear this shit. Because they want you to be afraid. Because they want to sell you this shot. So the fucking big pharmaceutical companies can make fucking money. And just rake in that fucking cash. That's what this world is fucking about anymore, man. It's money. It's money. Money, money, money. I fucking hate money. I hate the idea of money. Now, money is a good thing to have. Like, you need money to survive.
Yay!
Off break! But money corrupts people. I want to get back to a time where you're judged by your usefulness to the community. Not by the size of your bank account. I mean, Jesus Christ, I have a lot of skills. I can build. I can put on roof. I grew up roofing. I can weld. I grew up welding. I can milk cows. I grew up milking cows. I can fucking plant a garden. I grew up planting gardens and weeding gardens and just... I grew up on a fucking... I can do a lot of shit. But because my bank account is not extravagant, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a good fucking person. I don't fuck anybody over. I don't lie to people. But because my bank account is not extravagant, I'm a piece of shit. Why is that? That's a fucking odd metric to judge somebody on. If you break it down, I mean, people these days are being born into families with money, so they don't have to do anything their entire fucking life. They're just fucking wealthy, and they think that it's everybody else's fault that they're poor. When they don't have any goddamn skills, period. That's what aggravates the fuck out of me. Is when people who don't know how to do shit, shit on the fucking proletariat, shit on the working class. The skilled fucking tradesmen. Because they work with their fucking hands? Fuck you. Those people are a hell of a lot better than anybody with millions of dollars in your goddamn bank account who's just giving it. Who's just giving money their entire fucking life. You gotta earn that shit. I don't know, I'm just bitching, I guess.
Yay!
Off break! Oh, son of a mother pup. So, these mother truckers are just trucking along, loving life, thinking everything's great because they got money. Well, what's going to happen when this world shits the bed? Because it's going to happen. There's a 12,000-year disaster cycle that we are spot on due for. I just want to make it through the first week. I want to see what the world looks like afterwards. I'm just worried about if anybody's outside during when this fucking
yay
off break. If anybody's outside when this goddamn CME hits, which you see, that makes a lot of sense now. Why were all these fucking caves and shit? Have you seen all these caves and dwellings, livings, inside fucking mountains? To protect from the fucking sun, man. When it goes nuclear every 12,000 years. Sends off a CME that fucking destroys the electrical grid on planet Earth. And everything modern will be dead. It will no longer work for you. What are you going to do then when you're living in Manhattan in a fucking 300-square-foot apartment? How are you going to eat then? How are you going to get food then? What's he...
Yay!
Off break! Woo-hoo! There'll be a lot of unhappy people then. That's why when that shit happens, you don't want to be in a fucking city because shit's gonna go crazy, man. Oh well. At least, see, I'm trying to get y'all just like Mr. Ben. Suspicious observers, man. He's trying to get you prepared. I'm trying to get you prepared. I'm trying to help you become aware of what's inevitably going to happen. Because it has happened in the past, and it will happen again. It just...
Yay!
Off break! Ooh! Gosh darn it. All the heck, I say. Heck fire! Heck fire! Now, what we can do... I know we can do. We can do whatever we want to do. And you can do whatever you want to do. Because you are a thinking human being. Now, are you a smart human being? I don't know. I don't know you. But it pays to consider all possible outcomes. Think ahead. Fuck yeah, fuck yeah. Let's dive into the UFC, damn it. Let's see what kind of bull spit these mother truckers are trying to sell us today. I'm just a fucking pothead. Wow.
Day trial today.
Who killed Malcolm X? The official answer to that question changes today.
That's right. The civil rights leader was assassinated in 1965. He just started speaking in the Audubon Ballroom in Manhattan when three gunmen opened fire. Now, two of the men who were found guilty of the murder a year later always said they were innocent, and today their convictions will be thrown out.
Joining us from New York is NPR's Jasmine Garz. Jasmine, pretty remarkable turn of events. So walk us through the investigation that led us up to this moment.
This was a 22-month-long investigation conducted by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, lawyers for the two men, and the nonprofit Innocence Project. What they say they found was that back in 1965, both the FBI and the New York Police Department withheld key evidence that would have likely led to Aziz and Islam's acquittal. We're talking about FBI...
Really? You know what? There's someone else... Who's done that same goddamn thing? You know who that is? That's your Vice President Kamala Harris. She did the same goddamn thing because she wanted to fucking win. She didn't care if those motherfuckers were innocent or guilty. She won. She wanted to win. That's all that fucking mattered to her. And that's all that fucking mattered to these people back then. I mean, human... nature doesn't seem to be changing much in 50 years or 60 years, however the fuck long it's been.
Documents that implicated other suspects and pointed away from Islam and Aziz, failure to disclose NYPD files, which revealed that a reporter for the New York Daily News received a call on the morning of the assassination indicating that
You know why they're fucking releasing all this information now? Because the last person whom it could have affected is dead. So now they're reopening the case. And oh, well, that's just how shit works, man. You don't want to dirty somebody's name, even though they fucking did dirty. Fucking, be a good fucking person and everything will be Gucci, man. Then you won't have people dealing with shit that they did. This is all just one big fucked up situation, man. Be a good fucking person. That's all. That would solve every goddamn problem that we have. Is if just everybody obeyed the golden fucking rule, man. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be a good fucking person.
Max would be murdered.
50 years feels like a long time to reopen an investigation. Why did it take that long?
Well, investigators had agreed to revisit this case, and then recently a Netflix documentary about the assassination renewed interest in it. But the conviction of Aziz and Islam was always called into question from day one. They were part of the Nation of Islam, which Malcolm X had acrimoniously separated from shortly before his murder. Still, there was no business evidence that tied Aziz or Islam to the crime scene, let alone to the murder. Both men had credible alibis, witnesses contradicted each other, this was not at all clear-cut.
Okay, so Aziz and Islam are exonerated.
They just wanted to fucking close the case, get it done, and be hailed as heroes.
No, it remains unknown. Throughout the years, people pointed to another member of the Nation of Islam. Ruin
other people's lives just so they can have an easy day. Fuck you.
Why, if there was knowledge that Malcolm X's life was in danger, and there were undercover law enforcement officials present at the time of the murder, why wasn't anything done to prevent it?
It's been more than half a century since the assassination of Malcolm X. I mean, these men spent decades in prison. So what happened to Aziz and Islam?
Aziz was released in 1985. He is 83 years old now. Khalil Islam was released in 1987. He died in 2009. The families have expressed relief, but they've also acknowledged that the damage done is irreparable. Even after they were released, they were widely seen as Malcolm X's killers. They carried that stigma with them through life.
That's NPR's Jasmine Garz. Jasmine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
People are horrible.
Let me tell you a little bit about Shine On Botanicals. Shine On Botanicals is a family-run hemp farm. They grow the hemp so they can grow the cleanest, purest medicine that they know for their son, who has suffered a traumatic, debilitating brain injury. They make it so he can have access to the purest medicine that they know. And now they want to bring it to you because it's an awesome product. I've been using it for months. We have anything from human tinctures to pet tinctures. CBD roll-on, it's awesome. CBD tinctures are awesome. I feel 20 years younger with all my creaks and groans gone. It's awesome. To place your orders, email the promoting jester at gmail.com. Tell them what you'd be interested in doing. They'll hook it up for you. They'll send you an invoice and everything will be set. Let's get back to the show.
Charged with murdering Ahmaud Arbery will be back on the witness stand today.
That's right. Travis McBankel also testified in his own defense yesterday. He says he wants to tell the jury his side of what happened last February.
NPR's Debbie Elliott joins us now from Brunswick, Georgia. Debbie, the graphic cell phone video of this killing was central to the prosecution's case. It led to the arrest of the defendants and has many people asking why. What did Travis McBankel say about that?
Well, McBankel testified how he and his father, Greg, armed themselves and went in pursuit of Ahmaud Arbery in a pickup truck after Greg McBankel had seen him running down their street. McBankel said they wanted to question Arbery about neighborhood break-ins because he had seen Arbery a couple of weeks earlier at a home construction site. But Arbery didn't stop. McBankel described turning the truck several times to try to catch up with Arbery as he was running away. He said Arbery looked angry with clenched teeth.
You see, number one, you're not a cop. You're not a cop. It's not your fucking job. In this society, unfortunately, you can't patrol your own neighborhood. You can't be a vigilante. Vigilante justice doesn't work. Isn't 100% effective. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But it very well could be. But with the world we live in today, what you did was wrong. I don't condone what you did, bud. Because if somebody's chasing me, fuck yeah, I'm going to get pissed and I'm going to start shooting them if I have a gun. So fuck yeah, I will. Dude, you shouldn't have been fucking doing that. You should nobody needed to die in this fucking thing, man. He's stealing shit. Shit will fucking, everybody will get their just desserts. Boom. That's all you need to know.
Eventually, McBankel got out of his truck with his shotgun, and there was a struggle.
A shot?
Why?
He had my gun. He struck me. It was obvious that he was
I shot him because he had my gun? How are you gonna, hold on. Rewind that.
With clenched teeth. Eventually, McBankel got out of his truck with his shotgun, and there was a struggle.
I shot him.
Why?
He had my gun.
I shot him. He had my gun.
It was obvious that he was attacking me, that if he would have got the shotgun from me, then it was a, this is a life or death situation.
Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. I shot him. Why? He had my gun. Come on, man. Come the fuck on, man. You're really not too bright. Otherwise, this shit never would have fucking happened. Come on, man. This guy's guilty. Him and his father. I agree 100% that these two are fucking guilty, man.
Now, that was his defense attorney, Jason Sheffield, asking the why. And so McMichael's answer is self-defense. Sheffield spent a lot of time asking McMichael.
I shot him because he had my gun.
Training that he got as a petty officer in the U.S. Coast Guard. His actual is that of a mechanic.
What did the prosecutors focus on in their cross-examination?
You know, one thing prosecutor Linda Donikoski asked him about was that training, in particular, whether he was trained on a defendant's rights under the Fifth Amendment.
You learned, as part of your time in the military, that you can't force people to speak with you.
That's correct.
Okay. And that if someone walks away, you have to let them walk away.
Yes.
She asked whether he was making assumptions about neighborhood crime based on rumor. And
yeah, fuck this
she
dude.
She got McMichael to admit that he did not call 911 before going in pursuit of Arbery.
That
call was not made until just moments before Arbery was killed.
Debbie, what's the reaction been to McMichael's testimony?
Outside the courthouse yesterday, Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, who was in court for some of that testimony, said she really appreciated hearing what McMichael had to say.
I'm sure she did.
My family and I some insight.
Like, I feel bad for you, Mama. I mean, your son fucked up.
McMichael killed my son.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All assumptions. He had no real facts of where Ma was coming from. What Ahmad had done.
Okay,
he just took action into his own hands.
I would agree with her. It's not up to him to fucking police his fucking streets, man.
Whether either of the co-defendants, Greg McMichael and William Roddy Bryan, will also choose to testify when it comes time for them to present their side of things.
You know, there's a sense, Debbie, that this is a test case for racial justice on the national stage. How is that playing there in Brunswick?
Well, certainly it's been a theme for activists outside the courthouse, but it's now also figuring prominently in the courtroom. Bryan's attorney, Kevin Goff, has made several motions for mistrials after complaining about his client not getting a fair trial because of, quote, black pastors in the courtroom. Reverend Al Sharpton was there last week. Reverend
Jesse Jackson this week, sitting in the gallery with the Arbery family.
Goff has argued that that's improper influence on the jury, and the McMichael's lawyers have agreed and asked for them to be...
Well, you see, Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton... Yes, they're two quote-unquote upstanding black men. But they're fucking race baiters, man. They're getting rich off of racism. So they want to keep racism going. Fuck those two, man. Fuck those two people. They're fucking just selfish, greedy monsters who are getting rich off of other people's pain. Fuck those two, man.
And from the courtroom, the judge has denied that motion and has actually sort of told the attorney Goff that his comments were reprehensible. Now, today, in part in response to that, more than 100 clergy are planning a faith march outside the courthouse.
That's NPR's Debbie Elliott. Debbie, thanks.
-71 degrees and cloudy. A beautiful little store down in the heart of Lakewood, New York at 50 Chautauqua Avenue. Or you can find them at 710andcloudy.com where they have smoking deals on your smoking accessories. They have glass, they have smell good, they have dab rigs, posters, they have apparel, they have everything. Get your Sessions with the Jester shirts there. It's an awesome little store. Make sure you use code SWED10 at checkout. Save 10% off your order. Now let's get back to the show.
Leaders of Mexico and Canada will be at the White House today.
President Biden is hosting the first North American Leaders Summit since 2016. Once upon a time, these were regular gatherings, and then the Trump administration stopped doing them. So the Biden administration is casting this as
kind of a fresh start. White House correspondent Franco Ordonez joins us now. Franco, what's
I'm sure Trump had a reason.
You know, hey, this is a chance for him to reassure
that's funny.
The most important
they always have to throw a jab in there. That's
count
funny.
On the U.S. Biden's going to meet with each of them privately, and then he will meet with all of them together. The White House wants
all
to
of them,
this
huh?
trilateral relationship back on more solid footing like it once was. You know, the interests in the United States here are really clear. There are significant
because
migration and security issues.
Fuck Joe Biden. He's a goddamn illegitimate fool who can't do. Well, he can shit his pants. That's what he can do.
About some of the specifics
oh my god, this fucking dude. I'm telling you, man.
To share COVID vaccines and to manage migration. Everyone's aware that a lot has happened over the last 4 years, so how hard do you think it'll be to mend the relationship? You know, it won't be easy.
But
there are some real scars left over from Trump's time.
Tell me, buddy. What are they?
Didn't like how Trump forced through the regional trade deal that replaced NAFTA. And in the case of Trudeau, there were personal attacks.
I remember now. That's right. Trump was trying to make shit more fair, so we weren't always... But, see, money doesn't matter to the people who are fucking wealthy, and they're getting paid no matter fucking what, because they're all fucking corrupt. Man, Jesus Christ. Corruption runs rampant throughout the whole fucking system. So no wonder there's shit that's fucked up, man. Fuck illegitimate Joe Biden. He's so goddamn corrupt. Him and his fucking buddy Kamala Harris, fucking Hillary Clinton, all the goddamn Democratic Party, man. Their goddamn domestic terrorist group.
Consistent partner going forward.
These were dynamics that were long taken for granted.
No wonder nobody wants to fucking work with us.
After imposing tariffs on steel from Canada and claiming it was necessary for national security, not to depend on the Canadians, these leaders are left with the impression that the United States is not the ally that it once was.
And went on to tell me that this is similar to what Biden did in Europe, you know, his America is Back campaign. What issues do you expect Mexico...
America never left!
...to raise the president?
You fucking illegitimate
well,
fucking dick
licker. Well, I expect
some talk
about respect and sovereignty.
Hair sniffer,
president
I mean.
President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has said he'll ask Biden for his support so that undocumented Mexicans in the U.S. have a chance to adjust their legal status. Also, both Canada and Mexico are concerned about U.S. proposals to offer tax credit for electric vehicles, but only for cars made in the U.S. with union labor. One of their concerns, basically, is that Biden wants to work with them on U.S. priorities, but that he's less interested in working together
but see,
on
the
what's
thing,
important
it,
to them. Anything new, you'll...
It sounds good. It sounds good, a tax credit for driving electric cars. It sounds good. But you know there's some fuckery involved. It's sad. I know. But you know, there's some fuckery involved. Somebody's getting paid.
Watching for. Well, Biden is under pressure at home because of rising inflation, of course. He has talked a lot about fixing supply chains. These allies would say it can be an integrated effort. To that end, the senior administration officials said on the call that they'll start a North American supply chain working group. The reality
what does that
is,
even
as
mean?
Biden has looked to bring more manufacturing to the United States, Mexico and Canada, though, have grown more worried about a rise in protectionism.
Do you understand? No. Trump started off doing what he could to bring everything back to the fucking U.S. He said, make America great again. Fuck illegitimate Joe Biden riding on fucking Trump's coattails, man. What the fuck? This is... I guess I should have saw it coming. But come on. Because illegitimate Joe got into office in illegitimate ways, everybody has seen what the fuck has went on. So now everybody's leery. I would fucking be leery. Well, I ain't gonna trust this fucker. And you know they're fucking breaking rules, bending whatever the fuck ever. I wouldn't trust working with that dude. That's why I'm not working with the dude up here. I don't trust that motherfucker because he's an idiot. I wouldn't trust this motherfucker because he's a motherfucking idiot. And because they fucking bend rules, try to get shit the way they fucking want it to happen, man. It's creepy. It's fucking creepy.
So I'm going to be watching to see how Trudeau and Lopez Obrador talk about supply chains and whether they raise concerns about the U.S. becoming more protectionist.
NPR's Franco Ordóñez, thanks a lot.
And that is the UFC for November 18th. 2021.
If you have a news story that you'd like to submit to Getting High with the Jester, go to anchor.fm/NORROD and leave a message. I will give you $5 worth of free advice on that news story. Let's get back to the show.
These mother trucking mother truckers, man. Well, today it wasn't too bad today. It wasn't too bad today, except they got a little propaganda on the last story we'll get to. The first story was about who killed Malcolm X. And then we find out that 60 fucking years ago, everything was still the same. People were just pushing shit through, even though they had contradicting evidence. They were pushing it through just so they could get a win and go home and have dinner with their wives and girlfriends. I'm sorry, go have dinner with their wives and then go fuck their girlfriends. That's just how it fucking is, man. People are fucking gross, man. People are fucking gross. How are you just going to let somebody take a fucking murder rap just to make your day easy? You're fucking gross, man. It's disgusting. Oh, fuck you, man. I don't understand how you could even do that. Oh, I'm afraid of fucking people up with the words I say. And you're going to put somebody in fucking jail just because you can? Go fuck yourself, man. You are a true piece of shit, Kamala Harris. You're doing the same goddamn thing. Fucking gross, disgusting, fucking putrid. Like fucking what's that scene from The Princess Bride? Refuse, putrid garbage. Fuck Kamala Harris and fuck these fuckers who put that dude in jail for nothing. Oh, that's horrid. And the second story was about the Ahmaud Arbery trial.
Yay!
Off break! It really made me feel, really made up my mind when dude said, I shot him. Why? Because he had my gun. What the fuck is that? Asshole, you shot this kid because you felt superior. That's what you fucking shot him for. You're a piece of shit, and you deserve to go to jail. You deserve to get whatever the fuck you got coming to you, bud. You're a fucking gross, disgusting piece of shit, too. Fuck you. I shot him. Why? Because he had my gun. The fuck is wrong with you? Boom. Fuck that dude, man. The final story was about the leaders of Mexico and Canada meeting with illegitimate Joe Biden. What a fucking joyous time that must have been. I feel bad for Justin Trudeau. But hey, They're talking about supply chains. But Justin Trudeau, and but now they're saying they don't know if they can... See, again, you can't fucking believe what the fuck NPR is telling you. So, well, we'll go... We'll agree that they met. We don't know what the fuck they said. NPR is just feeding us a line of shit, and we're just gobbling it up. I did. But hey, it is what it is. At least we're aware of it. At least we're fucking aware of it, man. Fuck yeah, fuck yeah. Let's check in with Mr. Ben. Let's see what Space Hole
Yay!
Off-break! Woo! Check in with Mr. Ben. Let's see what space weather is going to be for November 18th, 2021. Good morning, Mr. Ben.
Good morning, folks. We've got seismicity, polar vortex dynamics, the lunar eclipse is in about one day. We'll go over cool science and big climate and catastrophism discoveries to close. We're starting with our star at spaceweathernews.com, and we find the last 24 hours with only minor motions on the sun. The southern coronal hole group is turning through as the next solar wind enhancement will be in about 36 hours, and those sunspots we've been eyeing, happy to lone wolf it across the Earth-facing half for now. No flare risk at this time. Quick seismic note. No major ones yesterday, but every quake on the map here is a blot echo. The deep quakes that signal a bigger one might be coming. Learn about that, the atmospheric factors, and the solar factors at quakewatch.net. Let's head to the polar vortices where the south is breaking down as we approach their summer, and the north has already built up strongly here. We'll be eyeing dips and weakness in the vortex this winter to see the worst of the cold outbreaks. Folks, just before we speak tomorrow, the lunar eclipse will occur. It begins at 7 a.m. UTC, which is 2 a.m. Eastern Time in the U.S., 11 p.m. Pacific Time tonight. The eclipse peaks at 9 a.m. UTC, 4 a.m. Eastern U.S., 1 a.m. Pacific, and that's the thing to see. Lasts for a couple hours more. Folks, this is what we only qualitatively described yesterday, a radio bridge. While visible in UV and infrared show the major objects, the plasma and dust like to show themselves only in radio waves when at the largest scales, connecting galaxies or galaxy clusters. Another one here from Hubble. You know, it glitched at the end of October, and I think their plan is to just put crazy images from their archive out every day until they manage to fix the thing. Either way, awesome cosmic paint job there, baby star. Not bad at all. Now, the top science. We've got a double punch with this new climate study, and first, it's once again the identification that super rapid shifts in climate can take place. That's both to hot and to cold. These are the ones so extreme they make the modern global warming look like peanuts. But also, look at the chart. Where's the younger Dryas? The most studied and most recent cyclical disaster and known cold snap, as bad as the last glacial maximum, is missing. Folks, in this coring, the cold snap is actually identified as happening at the Gothenburg geomagnetic excursion. It's not how the isotopes usually like to show it, but the ones that do are actually more on point. In this coring, the last disaster appears 1,000 years older than in many others, but that's the one that's probably closer to being right. And speaking of the last disaster and further past disasters, more strong evidence for volcanic contribution to extinction at the end Permian, 250 million years ago. This matters because there's also pretty unequivocal proof of impactors at that time, and also the Illawarra magnetic reversal. We don't discuss this one much, but the science world sure does. Hundreds of studies, including three of them from just this year, in major geology or geophysical journals. And folks, this is one of the key points we insist on making in the disaster series. So yeah, not all the evidential lines are seen 250 million years ago, but at least three of them are. And for the 12,000-year cycle events over the last 100,000 years, they hold completely. This platter, repeating on the cycle, is what tells us it's not just volcanoes or impactors or any one of these items, but every single one of them can be inflicted by the solar flash and geomagnetic excursion. Next one is underway and expected in the next 20 years. We greatly appreciate your support. Learn about the disaster cycle with our disaster cycle playlist, the 12,000-year cycle. Just look in the description box below the video. We've got wind maps and shots of our star to close. Subscribe and we'll do this all again tomorrow. Right here, but right now it's 5:30 a.m. in the new Valley of the Sun. Eyes open. No fear. Be safe, everyone.
Good shit, Mr. Ben. Excellent job. Well done. Remember to subscribe to Suspicious Observers on YouTube. Get full impact of his videos and stay up to date on everything that's going on cosmologically. Quote of the day. Bad day for your ego is a great day for your soul. What does that mean? A bad day for your ego is a good day for your soul. It's a day of learning. Learning how to better yourself. And just be better, I guess. That's what that means. Fuck yeah. Ha ha. If you're not laughing, you're not living, baby. Fuck yeah, fuck yeah. So, be a better version of yourself. Smoke weed every day. And just make shit happen.